Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Believe it or not, buddy to my left, Jeremy Hart, no relation. Maybe relation.
We don't know
who my dad is.
We don't know.
I really don't. Today was an interesting show. So we got to sit down with the incredible Mr. Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore, longtime comedian, longtime movie star, been doing stuff for a long time. Hollywood comic royalty. His parents started the Comedy Store, one of the oldest comedy clubs in the world. And man, everyone. That's ever been a huge name has come from there. David Letterman, Jay Leno, Richard Pryor, Tom Segura, Chris D'Elia. New stuff, old stuff. Comics have been coming out of this place. It's the most famous comedians of all time have been coming right out of this place for a long time. So, 1972. So we sit down with Mr. Pauly Shore. We talk a little bit about his legacy, what he's working on, a movie that's coming out soon. And right now he is doing both comedy tours as well as one-man show tours. So he is in Houston tonight, Dallas all weekend, two shows, Friday and Saturday, two shows each day. And then the rest of the month he'll be going to Indiana. And then New Year's Eve he'll be in Indianapolis. So you can get those tickets at paulyshore.com. Pauly Shore is also working on a few movies, the first of which coming out next year is Guest House. I'm excited about seeing it. It looks quite entertaining. Bobby Lee's in it. I'm a huge Bobby Lee fan. So, and I mentioned Jeremy here. I didn't mention your wine. Let's talk about this for a minute. So, legit, Jeremy, you've worked in this industry for quite some time. Huge wine guy. I've known him as to be the wine guy. Eat it, Rodney. And you came out with this wine last year. It's won some awards.
Yeah. So it's a wine from Tuscany, and it's called Legit. It's kind of a name that's a lot of people would kind of write off as far as being something that's actually legitimate in the bottle. But that's kind of the tongue in cheek of it, is that it's in your face as far as the fact that you kind of have to acknowledge it, and that it's
but it's legitimately delicious.
It's legitimately delicious, and that's sure. Kind of like the short of it, and that's where we're going with it and continuing with it. So
a Tuscan cab, and it's pretty much gone now. It's sold out.
No. We still have some. So it's not completely sold out, but we still have some. But it's gotten to this one point where we're number 26 wine in the world for this year for the biggest publication.
Number 26 wine in
number
the world.
Number 26.
So and I'm taking this home to my wife.
Yeah, drink it. And drink it now. Drink it in the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be. But standard kind of retail is about $40, $45. And so HEB, some independents here in Houston.
HEB's got it?
HEB got it. Yeah.
If I knew that, we love buying wine from HEB.
Yeah.
So let's get to their ad reads real quick.
Yep.
This week's show is, as always, sponsored by Terlato Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Bunahabhain, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and, of course, Scottish Leader. You can pick up the entire line at your local liquor store, or if you are a retailer, reach out to your United Wine and Spirits rep. And, of course, our friends over at Glass Rev Imports. Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Murray McDavid. The historic Colburn Distillery Whiskey Storehouse in the heart of Speyside is packed to the brim with whiskey casks. There, the whiskey team apply their crafts to age and finish, and, of course, they blend and bottle beautiful products from some of the best distilleries in Scotland. And yeah, what we've got in front of us. In fact, you got to try this beautiful Amroot Sherry, and how was it?
It's fantastic.
I love surprising people with this Amroot Sherry. This is one of the best bottlings that I've ever had from Amroot, and it is just exceptional beyond measure. The only thing that's kind of interesting is we don't do this in America, but the picture of a pregnant woman on the back with a nice X to the back of it is kind of hilarious. But
it's a good tattoo.
Yeah. So huge Amroot fans, Murray McDavid. The wine is fantastic. We just have a conversation with Polly about everything he's working on and everything he has worked on. So, and Katie, I'm warning you now, you did get a shout out. So without further ado, I think that covers all of our bases. Houston Whiskey Social, we are now 2 months out exactly, a little less than 2 months out. February 8th, get your tickets at HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. Cheers. Ding.
Cheers.
Actually, go ahead. Let's do it. Boom. Polly, buddy.
What's up?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, sorry I'm not drinking the wine. It's just a little early for me for wine. You know?
Oh, we may.
I'm just having some Smoothie King.
We may push you into that. I'll tell you why. So I grabbed a bottle of whiskey from your birth year.
Okay.
This was actually bottled the year you were born. So I figured we got to have a special pour. Not right now. We'll get to it at the end. I'm going to have a glass of wine, but I'm going to see what we can do about convincing you into that.
Yeah. Okay.
You sold out at the Secret Group. We had them on recently. Dusty Rhodes. I saw your cohort there carrying a Dusty Rhodes shirt.
He's my cohort.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to assume assistant or friend or what exactly.
Cohort.
Cohort's
good.
No,
that's Josh Martin. He's awesome. He's a sweetheart. He's my feature act.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who's opening for you?
Dusty Rhodes, what is it? Dusty Rhodes.
Christy Rhodes?
Mm-mm. Well, I'm not sure.
Sure.
I'm not sure who they have.
I'm sure Andrew will lock it in. Yeah. So you're here in town now, and I thought it would be great for us to kind of talk about everything you've been working on. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. Mm. Random Rants has been something that's kind of evolved into this this little bit of a beast. I mean, it's now this super... I've been listening to all your podcasts. Mm. I've been listening to you since the last two, and then this one is now, it started off being like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Now it's like the last one was pretty long.
Well, I've done two other podcasts? No, actually, I did two other podcasts. I did
the podcast show.
Interested podcast, which was me interviewing people and then them commenting on the interview, and that took too long to produce. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, you did the Whitney Cummings interview and then had Chris D'Elia on to comment on it.
Yeah, it was like, but it was cool. You know, one of my favorite ones, excuse me, at the burp. Sorry, I do that sometimes.
You've got, what do you call it, GERD?
Yeah, I think. I don't know what it is.
TJ Miller told me that if he gave me something for that, because when you drink a lot of booze, it tends to cause the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And something called mastic gum.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if you want to try that.
Mastic gum.
It's a
gum?
It's a supplement. It's a pill.
Oh, so it's but a pill or is it a gum?
It's a pill, but it's called mastic gum. I don't know what it's made of, plant life or whatever, but it's
TJ takes it?
TJ Miller takes it and told me
Why
to take it.
Why does he take it?
Burping.
He burps too? Yeah.
So he... He gave it to me. I bought some. It helps with that.
Maybe it's from coffee.
Sure.
Maybe it's from coffee. So what the fuck was? Oh yeah, the different ones. So I did the interested, and then I did the podcast show, and then I did rants, and then the rants first started just audio.
Sure.
You know, which was just me kind of going off whatever it is that I wanted to go off on, you know, because like being alone. Not married, none of that stuff. So sometimes, you know, as a comic, you know, you're by yourself. So it's like I have to rant on my stuff. So then it evolved into kind of this YouTube thing. And then from there, I'm like, fuck, how do I do a podcast where it's not just people sitting like this? You know what I mean? I don't want to interview people. And then I just started thinking, and I'm like, oh, shit, I could put the camera here. I could put the camera there.
Like a reality show.
Yeah, it's not like Big Brother vibe, you know? And then from there, I got my switcher in there, and we just started editing as we were going along. And it was like, and it started working. And now I just feel like there's something there. So I was telling you on the phone that I really enjoyed doing it, so it doesn't feel like work, yeah.
Sure.
So.
Well, that's the whole point.
What do you think of my glasses? They're cool?
Yeah, they're good. Like them a lot.
Should I wear them or keep them off?
Whatever you want, man. You're
I get nervous. Bob, I mean, Josh, what do I say?
You know, show the people your face, bro.
They might not want to see that shit.
You know what helps with nervousness?
Yeah.
A little booze.
But thank you for having me on your whiskey podcast.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to have a little pour here. You don't have to.
No, it's cool.
You called me last night. We talked.
Mm-hmm. Masturbated together.
A little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a big
little
fan
of... Little phone sex.
I'm a big fan of doing stuff for the story, so I took my clothes off while we were on the phone.
That's it. That's
just
good.
So I can say we talked and I was naked. Yeah. Absolutely. I like that. Absolutely.
Ginger's cool. I like ginger.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the orange.
The beard?
Yeah. I like chicks and dudes that have ginger.
Well, I hear you're a big fan of Asians as well.
Obsessed with Asians. It started with my mom, though, because my mom always had like Asians working at the bar at the store.
Sure.
She had, she's just loved Asians. And I've always, I don't know what it is. It's like I go to a Korean spa, you know, and I'm always surrounded with Asians. So no matter what type of mood I'm in, the second I get there, immediately I'm just happy. I don't know if it's their faces. I don't know what it is.
The stress relief, yeah, for sure.
It's like just seeing Asians, you know, are fun to me.
Well, Bobby Lee, you guys know each other as well. He's been working there. In fact, a few of your podcast episodes were titled after Bobby Lee.
Yeah.
So it's...
Now he won't call me back because he's so popular. I'm like, dude, put me on your podcast. He's like, I'll make a time when I can make a time for you. No.
I think that's how he sounds.
He did a part in my movie Guest House, so I have a movie next year. We could talk about that later, but yeah, he was nice enough to do that. So no, Bobby's doing great. You know, all these guys are doing great. Theo, Chris,
Theo's killing it right now.
Like all these guys. You know, it's just like really cool for me to see. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like your legacy.
It's like the Wild West. Like everyone's kind of got their own thing, and everyone's kind of. It's cool. Like I drove by the Wiltern Theater the other day and coming from the airport and I saw Theo Von's coming there. So it's pretty cool, you know.
I think he sold out the Wiltern as well.
It's amazing.
He's someone that also deals I think with a tremendous amount of anxiety and stress. Mm. It's weird being so popular and then also not enjoying the popularity, yeah. Right? So it's something that he's dealing with it the best he can, but he's how do you not like Theo Von? I mean, Theo Von's the most lovable guy ever. So, but that, like I said, that's your legacy. I mean, the Comedy Store. I mentioned when we posted on Twitter that you were coming that you're royalty, man. Well,
my mom and dad are. So they're the ones that started it. So,
sure, like, sure. You know. But you know, your impact on comedy is everyone I told that was coming freaked out.
Oh, cool.
You know, I mean, that leads me to let's get to my first question. Because I do have a
you can cut all that part out. That's all the other stuff we just talked about if you want. I mean, so we just get to the first question, right?
Most of this is a formal conversation, but we're talking about your movies. There is something that I wanted to ask formally. It's something that you've been doing movies for 20, 30 years, 25 years. Yeah. And when asked about your favorite movies of what you've done, you often will cite Biodome or Son-in-Law as being a big one. Mm. Why? My first official question to Pauly Shore is, why do you not say that Encino Man's the best? Because you're definitely wrong for not saying Encino Man's the best. Mm. Encino Man was such a big part of my childhood.
Well, because Son-in-Law was a movie that took me out of the teen world and brought me into mainstream middle America.
Sure.
Because it appealed to
families.
And that's why I think that was the one. And it had such a good heart and such a good story. And it was so simple. And it's just like a really good feel-good film that I think transcended the MTV Encino Man kind of genre, you know.
The surfer dude, the weasel.
No, it was the smaller audience. Son-in-Law was the one that I toured all over the world with that film. Like Disney brought me over to Australia and Japan and England, and I went everywhere, and that was like the thing that really, you know what I mean?
Opened the world, and plus
it was like, it was a hit, and I was above the title, and like Encino Man was like, I was the third lead on that, even though like my stuff was kind of interweaving. It wasn't really about my character, it was about the caveman.
Yeah, Brendan.
Yeah, so Son-in-Law, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know, dude. I fucking love the kid in it and the girl and the man, the father. I thought Lane Smith was such a good actor. To play off of him was really fun. So I don't know. And then Biodome was a film that you know, I just told myself, I just want to, you know, because before you prepare for a film, you kind of get in that space of like, how do I want to come across? How do I want this character to be? And I always liked Beavis and Butthead.
Sure.
You know, and I always wanted to do kind of like a live version of that. So like with, you know, Biodome, you know, I was just telling Steven, I'm like, let's just be insane. You know what I mean? Like
way over the top.
Yeah. And that's kind of like why I like that. So, but I like all of them. I like the Army movie. You know,
in
the Army now. I like I don't know. I like all of them, you know.
Well, the son-in-law in specifically still holds up.
Why is he speaking so much, this guy?
I know.
What the fuck is this guy even here for?
I told him.
Sorry, buddy.
I told him
he's
beforehand.
He's like a creepy guy that's like jerking off as I'm speaking. Tell me about the cheek chillers.
Yeah,
that's real good. Yeah. No, I'm serious. No disrespect, but what's your position here on the podcast?
So
he's going to say something? Say something. Creeper.
So he actually has an award-winning wine that he released. His last name is actually the same as mine, no relation that I know of, but he's got an award-winning wine, and I know that you're not a heavy drinker, so I thought a great wine that...
I like drinking, just not at noon.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then I have a show tonight.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Which is actually surprising. We talked about this last night. You are relatively unscathed in the world of... unscarred of the last three decades. Nowadays, you have someone like, let's say, Justin Bieber or someone who gets super duper famous at like 17, and then they go through horrible bouts of issues. Trying to Google and find a Pauly Shore controversy, there's not anything.
Just small penis, that's it. Girls complaining like, oh, I thought he had a big dick. Oh my God, it's 2 inches. I remember one time... this girl, you know how everyone wants to send dick pics and shit?
Sure.
I swear to God, I sent it. I googled someone else's. No, I googled the smallest dick. If you Google the smallest dick, it's like tiny, and it's no offense, but it's got red hair on it, and it's hilarious because they have a ruler and they put a ruler on it, and it's literally like a half an inch.
Sure.
Oh, and I sent that to this babe, and then she stopped texting me back. It's hilarious. If you ever want to, like, you know, get rid of a chick, you know what I mean, and she's kind of like on you, just send a dick pic of like a really small penis and say, okay, well, babe, this is what we're working with, that's cool, right?
You know? you would think that, again, just for the story, that she'd probably take one for the team just for the so she could say she slept with you. But I mean, no marriages, no kids, no... how do you get through the 90s being Pauly Shore without kids out there somewhere?
I don't know. Maybe my semen is like all polluted or some shit. You know what I mean? I don't know. I never really, when I have sex, or if I ever have sex, or when I did have, I think in my whole life, I maybe orgasmed in 2 or 3 girls my whole life.
Wow.
I'm just not that guy.
Sure.
I'm not like a farmer, man. Fuck it. Fuck your shit, man. Come. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Guys just come in chicks like it's no big deal. You know what I mean?
I mean, is it a big deal?
I'm not the guy to ask it for kids.
But you know what I mean? It's like...
I have 4 kids too, so...
So you come, you came in your chick a lot, right?
I think.
Obviously, yeah.
I mean, well, we've got it narrowed down to one or two causes, but we're not quite sure what causes kids.
Yeah. There's always that, but you're always kind of like...
throwback.
You know, the thing is like, it's weird because there's like pre-cum that comes out too. Do you know when you're having sex and you say to yourself, oh, I don't want to cum in her. So then you have sex and you're like, oh shit, did I get a little pre-cum? Yeah. And if you ever think of that, what you do is you take it out and you let her suck it first and get the pre-cum out and then start having sex again. You're like, okay, she got the pre-cum.
I just realized how much of this episode we can actually use for radio.
Oh, you can't use any of this? It's a podcast.
No.
Right?
It is a podcast, but it airs on the radio. We had TJ Miller on, and his opener is Cash Levy. Do you know Cash Levy?
Uh-uh.
Him and TJ are like best friends. He features for him everywhere he goes. And Cash was basically told by a woman in the audience that he looks like a turtle.
Mm.
And he's bald, kind of looks like a turtle,
hilarious.
Right? So he was hoping...
I got to see him. He sounds funny.
He was hoping to be more tied to a more sexy animal like a tiger or a lion. Mm. And turtles have enormous, enormous penises.
Okay.
And I was like, you should take it as a compliment that turtles are... So for the entire episode, TJ Miller kept saying... turtle cock over and over again, to the point that we couldn't use it for radio. But that's okay. I have no obligation. I don't care if it...
So you can cut it out, though.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay, I'm going to leave all that in. Okay. Yeah. All of that's staying in, for sure. All of that is staying in as if you didn't pull out.
Okay.
Let's not pull
Cheers.
Out.
Yeah. Absolutely. So You have, and by the way, I found a movie. I try to do as much research to make sure that I'm, everyone knows Pauly Shore, but I try to make sure that I'm up to date on what's going on in your world. And I found a movie that I didn't know that you did that is actually, is tremendous. It was Whiskey Business.
That's hilarious.
I liked the movie. My wife and I watched it. It was 2012, 2013, something like that. And it made me think that you would be more inclined to drink on air. But it was a decent movie. It was funny watching you put on a New Jersey accent. That was pretty funny.
I got to watch that again.
It's
because I do these things and then I don't think about it. I even forgot I even did that movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, I did that movie. Yeah, that was great. I enjoyed it.
The general premise is that he was a son of a don of a mafia family and ends up having to run away from someone who wants to be next in line and resorts to hiding out in Tennessee, making moonshine. Totally apropos of the show and seemed pretty interesting. So,
yeah.
If
you would have asked me what the premise of Whiskey Business was, I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know?
I remember as a Jersey guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I enjoyed doing that movie. That was fun. That was for CMT.
So, well, talk to me about what's coming out next year.
I have a movie called Guest House, where I play a guy that won't leave out of a guest house, and it's kind of like the movie Neighbors, or what's that movie with Michael Keaton, War of the Roses? Is that War of the Roses? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like where this kind of good looking millennial couple, they purchase this house. Come to find out my character, this guy, what's the fuck's his name? Randy Cockfield. He's living in the back, and I have like this beard, and my hair's out here, and I'm doing coke, and I'm like having sex with chubby babes, and I'm in the back, and they go like, oh, he's gonna leave. You know, the agent is like, oh, don't worry, he'll leave, and I never wind up leaving.
Sure.
So it turns into this huge feud. I'm having parties back there, and then I don't want to tell you all the stuff that happens,
sure.
But then there's like some heart at the end. There's like a really sweet message at the end, but I'm pretty proud of it. I should have brought the trailer for you to see, but it's not online yet. So it'll be out, and I got to burp again, sorry.
Do it.
Everyone's in it. Bobby's in it. Punky's in it. Eric Griffin's in it.
Eric Griffin?
Shit. Oh, yeah. Billy Zane's in it. Steve-O is in it.
Wow.
Chris Kattan is in it. The two leads are Amy Teagarden and Mike Castle, and they're two really good actors. Amy Teagarden, she was on was it Friday Night Lights? Any of you guys want to double check that? Yeah, and then Mike Castle, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's just like kind of this up and coming, really good comedic actor.
Sure,
and it was really fun to do, and I'm really excited about it. It's rated R, so it's like a hard R. And kind of like American Pie, you know, vibe.
Sure.
You know, and I think it should come out like spring or summer next year. So I'm excited about that, you know.
Will it be widespread? We'll be able to see it everywhere?
We'll see.
Yeah?
They're selling it right now, so.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got a pretty decent cast. I don't see why anybody would.
Yeah. It's a good film, so I'm excited about
that. Well, you haven't stopped working. I mean, you've literally, I would say, arguably, I feel like you've done more since 2010 than you've ever done. Like, it seems like you've been constantly putting out content, constantly working films. You like I said, CMT, the podcasting. I've listened to
documentaries.
Yeah, the documentary stuff. Pauly Shore Stands Alone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was a super well received documentary about you. So it's something that I just realized something else I was going to talk to you about. The episode of Joey Diaz's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan of Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
And that's when I've seen everything he does, but I heard he put you through the ringer a little bit. Kind of.
Well, I never had done gummies before.
Sure.
So it was like, you look at a thing that's this big, you know, and you're like, there's no way this can affect
like a
me.
Teddy bear.
Yeah, there's no way this can affect me. He said something. That's good. No, I'm just fucking with you. So you just eat it and you don't really think about it. And then I started doing the show with him, and then I literally couldn't speak, and then I had to leave.
Yeah, he said.
And then he even fucking let me even drive. I would have been like, dude, if you can't fucking speak, we can't let you drive. And then I was driving home back to Silver Lake, and I literally was seeing shit. It was so scary, dude. I was fucking nervous, dude.
Well, I think he was too. They didn't air the episode. They cut it off or deleted it or whatever. But basically,
yeah, because I couldn't speak.
Right, he was worried about you.
You know what I mean? And now I do gummies, but I do a certain amount, and you know, and it kind of like it's fine. But I don't know what he did. What?
If you take them like medicine, it's great.
Well, I just don't know what size. You know, it's kind of like mushrooms.
Well, it's like legal. It's like it's regulated to what the size is. So it's like this much is this much, and I know exactly. And I know exactly what's in it. And so, like, that's I cover Colorado, so when I go there, it's easy. It's like, well, I literally buy it like medicine and take it like medicine.
Well, he
and I know exactly where it's going to take me.
He specifically Stars of Death or something. They were like 150 milligram edibles, so they were super concentrated.
No, absolutely not. I take 10.
Yeah,
10's
you know what
perfect.
I mean.
10's yeah,
perfect.
It's kind of like mushrooms. When I was a kid, I OD'd on mushrooms. I did it once. I did a movie called 18 Again with George Burns.
Sure,
it was his last film. And I played his grandson's best friend, and at the rap party, the Grips came up to me and was like, "Yo, dude, you want some shrooms?" So I was like, "Fuck, let's do this." So I did some shrooms.
So your first time?
Yeah, it was the first time. And then I started freaking out. My hands were sweating. I'm like, "Oh shit!" George Burns and Red Buttons was there, and I was with this girl Melissa Paul that I had a crush on, and you know, and I drove home and I dropped her off somehow, and I went up to the bathroom of my mom's house and I started crying heavily, and then I went downstairs and my mom was in front of the rowing machine. She was like doing her exercises. Back in the old day, you had the rowing machine, and I started crying to her, and then she started crying, and it was just fucked up, man.
Everything about that, it just sounds amazing. It sounds like the Hangover.
But the problem is with drugs is like, you know, just you don't know what the size to take, so you have to be with some. It's like acid. Like I want to try acid. I've never tried acid. You know, it's called microdose.
Yeah, just don't give it. Just get like it from Joey Diaz.
From who?
Don't get it from Joey Diaz.
Does he do acid?
Well, he does everything.
He does acid. Josh, does he do acid?
Yeah. Well, allegedly, I would say that.
So. I would do like a little like microdose. I heard. Like up in, what is it, Silicon Valley, I hear that, you know, a lot of these people to program, they microdose, you know, because
sure.
It opens up their mind and they can think better. And like, I would do that, but I would just have to be with someone that knows the right amount to take.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Well, or Ari. I know Ari for sure does it. Ari Shaffir. Yeah. And he's a Comedy Store comic, right? Ari's been...
No, he's the improv guy.
Oh dang.
No, he started at the store, yeah.
Yeah, so he, and I know the backstory on Ari, he recently dosed Bert. I don't know if you know Bert Kreischer.
he did what?
He dosed Bert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he got, they did an episode of their podcast, and before they started, he wanted to do a shot. So he gave him Molly and dosed his whiskey with Molly. And then while they recorded the episode, it kicked in, and Bert was like at home with his family, with his kids. His wife wasn't there, so there was like this whole frustration with each other because Ari dosed him.
So he didn't know?
He didn't know.
Was he mad?
Oh, yeah. There was a big fallout, but Bert is and Ari are doing everything they can to...
That's hilarious. Did you know that,
to
Josh?
To resolve that, yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
He drugged him. It's hilarious. Oh
and I'm a fan of both of them, but yeah, so I wouldn't microdose with Ari.
See, I'm scared to go around any of those guys now. Jesus Christ, they'll probably rape me and stick something in my asshole or something.
And that's something else. You've never been a big drug guy. You're not a... Not a drug guy, not a booze guy, and 30 years...
And you're like, yeah, okay, he's boring. Get him off the show.
No.
Guy's fucking boring. He's an old Jew.
That's what I'm
the
saying
fuck?
Is you're super fascinating. You've had a long storied history in this business, and you don't have any of the vices. Mm. I mean, you do have a reputation of being quite sexually popular. Mm. But other than that, I mean, you've how do you get through life without...
It's kind of interesting, too, because... You obviously have the want.
Have the what?
The want. You want to try acid, even microdosing to a point, all that stuff. But like, you haven't pursued. You obviously can have access to this stuff fairly easily. Mm-hmm. So it's...
I'm sure people would...
It's an easy next step, but you still haven't pursued.
I think I grew up in Hollywood and Beverly Hills, and I don't know if that means anything, because there's people that grew up in like small towns that grew up around crazy fucking people too.
Sure.
But I mean, in my business and around where I was going through and all the stuff that I saw, like all I saw were drugs. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I always had this saying, and something that I came up with, and I say it's okay to dance with the devil, don't become the devil. Meaning it's okay to have fun at the party,
but don't
become the party. And that's what Sam Kennison did that I never liked.
That's right. You know? He babysitted you.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he babysitted me, but I would follow him around. Like, I went everywhere he went. But he was one of those guys that loved to do coke, you know, and loved to party, but not stop the party. You know what I mean? As opposed to doing one line, maybe two lines, and going to sleep at 3 or 4, he would keep going. And I had a couple of those times that I did that with him.
You know? You hated it.
Well, it's just not right. Yeah. You know what I mean? After a while, it's just kind of like gross. You know, when you're a kid,
it's a dorky drug.
But when you're a kid and you're trying to fit in, like I was trying to fit in with him, and I thought it was cool. There were porn stars around, and strippers, and playmates, and rock stars. Sam was hanging out with Billy Idol. You know, and Joe Walsh, you know what I mean? And fucking, it was cool. So it was like, let's try a little, you know? And that's kind of what it was. But it wasn't like, you know, Sam was the kind of guy that you'd get invited to one of his parties, and then there would just be drugs. And if you try to leave, he'd like get in front of the door.
Make a thing about it.
And he'd be like, party goalie, party goalie. And he'd like rip his shirt out. And he had the worst breath. Sam had the fucking worst breath. So like when you would talk with him, like I had a and then I'd be like, okay, go on. That's how it was.
It's like death.
Oh my God, dude. He had the worst breath. You know, it was fucking hilarious. But, you know, he had that, you know, he was, you know, he lived that life. You know, if you look at his stand-up, you could see how much it changed. If you look at his first Letterman appearance, and then you look at his last HBO special that did at the Wiltern,
yeah,
you can see the dramatic difference. And he was saying that he's not on drugs, but he was on drugs. Like, sure. People that, like, say they're not on drugs and they are on drugs, or that's fucked up, especially if you're an addict.
Those are the ones to have, you know, your Mitch Hedbergs, or like they put out a very clean appearance, but then behind closed doors, those are the ones that are dangerous, because you have no idea what's going on and how far they're taking it.
Yeah, so I'm happy the whole like cannabis, marijuana, blah, blah, blah world is kind of in our psyche now, because I think what is going to wind up happening is the pharmaceutical companies are going to slowly kind of deteriorate, and I think the CBD fucking world is going to slowly I got to burp again. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think that you know, I used to take to help sleeps like Ambien. You guys heard of Ambien?
Yeah. I don't mess with that stuff.
Yeah, but you know, I take like a little bit of it. It's kind of a psychological thing. Oh, I feel like I have a sleep med in me, and it can help me sleep, relax. So. And now, because of the whole CBD world, now I take like a small little, like, I don't even know what the fuck it's called, but it's like a CBD pill, and then a little drops, and kind of like just helps me sleep. And then when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel groggy or anything like that. So I think the more people learn about that type of stuff, I think it's going to be better for everyone, because I think it's just healthier. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so. I mean, it's the healthy organic version of the heavily pharmaceutical stuff that we've been taking for years that's been shown to cause a tremendous amount of problems with people.
And what's crazy, in LA there's a weed cafe, it's like Amsterdam, where you can go in now. It's called Lowell Cafe. You go in there and you can buy weed, you can smoke weed there, you can have food there, right? And it's like everyone is stoned, even the waitresses are stoned. You know, like they come over and she's like, am I your waitress? I'm like, shit, I was going to ask you the same thing. Fuck, I don't know. And you know what? You got to be careful, though, because you don't want to get pulled over for smoking and driving, because the cops, they hang out. Like, I got pulled over for smoking and driving.
Did you get in trouble?
Yeah, what they did is they didn't give me a breathalyzer like this. They put a whole box of donuts in front of me and a carton of milk. And if you eat it, then you get arrested. I got arrested 6 times last week, bro. All right, edit, commercial. Sorry, just see one of my jokes. That was pretty bad. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. By the way, speaking of which, I noticed looking on your website that you've got two different things. You are doing stand-up in some cities, mm-hmm. but also doing a one-man show. Talk to me about that.
Josh, can you explain the one-man show? I'd like this to be a cameo. No. Come here for a sec. I just want Josh to get a little stage
screen
time.
Stage time?
No.
Oh, hey, guys.
No, come here.
What's your last name, Josh?
Josh right Martin.
Josh yeah, Martin.
Just sit right here and come from the heart, because I don't like talking about the one-man show. You talk about it. And he's got a speech impediment, so this will be good. Go. Tell him. Ask him about it first.
So, Paulie, tell me about your one-man show. What's going on there?
It's just a one-man show. It's just stories about my life as a kid. So I grew up at the Comedy Store.
Sure.
And so I was surrounded by a bunch of comics. So stories of my experience as a kid with these comics, stories about my mom during different moments of the Comedy Store history, times of me at the Playboy Mansion.
Sure.
And MTV stuff, how I got on MTV. And
my pop lock and friends, Sugar Pop.
I was a good dancer. I knew how to pop lock. And yeah, so it's about an hour 15, hour 25, and it's just great
conversation.
Stories. There's music involved, a lot of dancing on stage, and it's very fun. It's pretty good, you know.
I'm excited to see it. I'll be there tonight, by the way.
That was cool. I just wanted to give him a little screen.
Sure. Of course. Speaking of being honest, you had a I like the idea, first of all, of a one-man show, but you had a, I don't know if you got any feedback on this or not, but a very, very honest and beautiful conversation with Joe Rogan on his show.
Mm.
That interview was so raw and a peek behind everything you've been through that it was amazing. Like I've showed people the interview. I've talked to people about it. It was something that it's kind of a peek into random rants. It's like this honest moment of just what's going through your head, how you're feeling. And I just wanted to tell you that I thought it was fantastic.
Thanks. Thank you.
Just the honesty of how things with the three movie deal and what's going through your head is just.
Yeah. It was just, the thing is like, my life is cool now. You know what I mean? Like, I have a lot of awesome stuff that are going on. I have some personal shit that's still fucking with me, with my parents dying and my sister died and my best friend Gary died and all this shit happened in a year. And I'm a very emotional person. You know, I'm very, heavily emotional. So it's hard for me to just kind of, I'm not Donald Trump where I can just like fucking move forward like that didn't happen.
Sure.
So I kind of carry that. And anyone that his parents die, they know what I'm talking about. It's fucking weird. I don't care how old your fucking parents are. When they're dead and you can't talk to them and I have no relationship with my siblings and I'm pretty much by myself, it's fucking hard.
It's weird.
It's fucking hard, but I'm not a victim, you know what I mean? But it's definitely a struggle every single day for me to move forward. And it's hard, but I'm getting through it. Like I say, I exercise, I hang out with Asians, what I mean? They make me happy and I do my shows and I got a lot of love from people everywhere I travel and that keeps me going and I love doing what I do. So, in life you have to look about what you have, not what you don't have. And I think that's really important, So with the movies, that I did, everyone's life, I think, when they first start is so exciting. You know what I mean? Like in your 20s, you're like, oh shit, this is my 20s. Like, I don't care. If you're in fucking college, it's exciting. Even people that are older now and they look back on their college years, like, dude, those were the best years. Because it is. You know what I mean? It just is. It's like, yeah, now you got a family and kids. And like, that's cool too. But fuck, you got like this. And
I know,
that,
they're
that,
the worst.
Like if you're a knucklehead in your 20s, it's okay. You're like in your 20s. So for me, I was doing my movies and I was doing MTV and blah, blah, in my 20s. So it was just, there was this kind of carefree spirit. I had my mom. I had my dad. I had a relationship with my siblings. It was like very like,
Everything was good.
Yeah, it was cool. So now it's like, it is what it is though. Like some people live with cancer, and they just have to deal with it. Some people have a fucking tumor in their head and they have to fucking deal with it. Everyone has something. We all have something that we have to fucking live our lives and deal with. So that's my thing.
You don't let it consume you. Just keep going.
And your parents would not want you to consume it too. My mom, get over it. Stop being a little pussy. You know what I mean? Is what she would say. Sure. My dad would be like, go on, stop it. We're good, you know? So that's important, you know? And that's something I get here, you know what I mean? And that's why I like doing random rants, because it gives me an outlet to kind of just spew, you know, shit. And then I get all these knuckleheads around me, and it makes it fun. It's like a place. For me, random rants represents freedom. Like, I feel free. You know, it's in the middle of the afternoon. I'm in my fucking apartment. I got all these knuckleheads around me, and we're just dancing and having fun. And it's like therapy for me.
Absolutely. You know, it's very cathartic.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, and for those who don't know, you lost your mom at the beginning of 2018, then your sister, and then your dad. And
my best friend, Gary Garfinkel, who used to run Showtime, who is a very good friend of mine. It was like, who's your best friend?
My wife would say her.
A guy friend.
I would say probably Derek Allen.
Yeah, imagine if he got, I mean, God forbid, he got brain cancer and died 2 years after
that.
Sure.
Is that what happened, Gary?
Yeah, it's fucking a nightmare.
So, yeah, I've known him since I was 15.
Yeah,
so
I mean, like, that's life. It's just fucking crazy.
The
Yet Donald Trump seems to be looking younger every day. I always say there's two people in this world that could say whatever the fuck they want, and that's Trump and Chappelle. And it seems like those are the two people.
Burr's up there too.
Yeah, Burr's pretty up there too. But he's very paranoid. Trust me, I had dinner with Burr like about a month ago, and he's paranoid because of this thing, you know?
Yeah, social media. And
I think he's a little bit more paranoid than Chappelle and Trump. You know, Trump is wild. He is fucking wild. Like, I can't believe the shit that comes out of his mouth. It's so wild.
He
says the FBI are criminals, like...
Scum.
I mean, or scum, right? Scum. What else did he just say?
Well, he's complaining about that girl winning Time of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Person Greta. She won Greta.
Oh, my God. He's so wild.
But you know what?
Fun to watch, though. Fun to watch.
He found a way around it. If you just increase the number of things that you say that's ridiculous, people will eventually forget all of it.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, you have one controversy with a president, like, you know, Clinton in the White House. If it's just one, then people focus on the one. But if you keep going. Yeah.
And like 5 or 10 years from now, when they do the Donald Trump documentary,
it's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be more of a montage documentary.
Dude, it's going to be longer than. Like,
no, it's going to be like a montage doc because he said so much shit. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
And the fact that he hasn't gotten impeached with just all the other shit is just crazy. But I guess, you know, he's a fighter. You know, you put this New York crazy real estate guy as our president, and that's what you get, right?
You're very political. You've got I don't think that many people know that about you, but there is a side of you that's very political. Would you consider
yourself? Well, I'm entertained by it, and that's what I watch at night. Like, you know what I mean? I always, you know, I try to watch Netflix. I try to watch different specials. I try to watch movies. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, let's see what this fucking crazy guy's doing today.
Let's go to Twitter.
No, let's go to like Fox and like CNN and MSN. And it's just so, it's entertaining to me, you know? So, you know, a lot of the liberals are funny to me because they talk so much shit about him, but yet they're making so much money off of him. Because I think because of Donald Trump, it gives them something to talk about. And when they have something to talk about, the ratings go up.
Sure.
So when, you know, Anderson Cooper or Don Lemon, they get a hold of a story, it gives them something to talk. It's almost like fucking that station HLN. Have you seen HLN?
Sure.
It's basically a station, if you haven't seen it, it's about murders. People get murdered. It's 24 hours of murders. That's all it is. So I'm thinking, like, fuck, if there's no one murdering, these people are out of jobs. So anytime, I mean, it's disgusting to say, but I'm sure anytime there's a murder, these people get excited. They're like, oh, shit, we got programmed. We could put some food on our table. I mean, it's true.
100%.
It's disgusting. And we watch it. Like, if you watch Netflix, every fucking show is about a killer. It's like, why are we so fascinated with people that kill people? So weird.
Well, I think the weirdest thing, and I'm sure it's been talked about at some point, was the guy that used to catch predators, right? They would purposefully act like kids and rope in middle-aged men.
Right, right.
That's just as dysfunctional as the guy that's looking for it.
Yeah.
Like, you mean that you have someone on your staff that you pay to say dirty things as a child to creepers, and then you feed off that for ratings. And I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone watched it. It
well,
was great.
The thing that's crazy about our world, I think, is that years ago we got our entertainment from TV and movies. And then reality show came, reality TV came, and then we got our entertainment from reality shows, Big Brother, The Amazing Race, or, you know, with the Real World on MTV. And now because of this, now everyone's got a fucking show. So everyone is, you know what I mean? So more people are interested in, you know, a fucking Chinese guy eating hot dogs or, you know, someone falling out of a tree than who's up for the Golden Globes this year. No one cares about who's up for Golden Globes. They want to see how many, you know, how many people, you know, fell off a fucking tractor, you know, or some shit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, we talked about
that. But that's where our minds are. More people, and people are like, well, this guy's got a million followers. I'm friends with a girl that lives out here. She's got a million followers, and all she does is shake her ass on the. She's like this,
right?
And she's got a million followers.
How's
and she probably makes so much money just shaking her ass, and it's like people want to see that shit.
She's here in Houston.
Yeah, she's in Houston.
Oh, yeah, yeah, what's her Instagram handle?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
What's her Instagram
my
handle?
Shit's off right now.
I wonder if I know her.
You probably know her, but she's nice. But it's like that's the way it is. So that's where we're at in our business.
Yeah, I mean, you know? When what was that movie or a TV show, MASH? It's when it finale aired, it was like 120 million viewers. It was insane. Now the number one sitcom on TV, that Big Bang Theory, they hit 20 million. It's literally a sixth of what it was in the '80s.
So content.
Correct. Content.
Here, this girl right here. 2.4 million followers on Instagram.
Jenna Shay?
Yeah, she's cool. She's only one Shay is her Instagram. Only number one, Shea.
2.4 million followers. I think he said one before. That's 2.4.
2.4. And Jesus. Look at this is what she does. Look.
I don't condone this behavior. This is I'm a married man.
You should get her
man.
On your podcast.
Oh, okay. No. No, so that's what she gets
she
followers
does,
for?
Yeah.
She gets paid for that?
Yeah. 2.4 million followers. I'm fucking getting out of the business.
Why don't you do that?
Maybe I should. Josh, will you film it? Will you film it? Yo, bro.
The next...
But good for her. You know, good for her. You know, I mean, everyone's got to make a living. And if she's happy, then fuck it, right?
That's all that matters.
So always on the couch?
No, I don't look. See.
Okay. Cool.
And your friends are there. How did you develop that relationship?
Just, we're following each other, and then we started talking. I told her to come to the show tonight. She might come to the show. Maybe I'll bring her out on the stage.
Yeah, do it.
And do some booty.
I don't have any ones.
No, she's not a stripper. But anyway, so I don't know. It's just, but it's also the internet and this whole world is awesome too. So it's
sure.
Like, and I'm not saying it's bad or good or anything. My thought process behind it is what it is. So you just kind of have to go with it. So fuck it, right?
But do you think it's less controlled now? Would you rather have come up now than when you did come up?
Great
when it
question.
Wasn't there?
Great question.
We had him for something. We knew, right?
Yeah, sir. Yeah. It's definitely got to be better now than it was before.
I would think so, right? You can control
For instance,
the narrative.
Everything you just said, I don't think would have flown on MTV in 1995.
No, you can't. I mean, it's the Wild West. You know, there's no... I mean, if you look at Twitter, you know, you can be following Trump, and then the next thing you're following some porno star that's sucking a penis.
Sure.
It's like, you know what I mean?
Is that allowed on Twitter?
We just like cut
yes.
out the middleman, right?
Porn's allowed on Twitter?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really do Twitter. I'm more of an Instagram, Facebook guy.
Yeah, well...
The bourbon world is all on Facebook.
Yeah. So anyway, but it is what it is, you know, because as a kid, you know, you rush into your parents... You rush into your parents' bedroom, you grab the magazine, the porno, you hide, and now it's just right there. It's like, so.
Yeah, phones, know. Jesus. And you've got kids, too.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to all that.
I've got teenagers, and it stresses me out. Luckily, the teenagers are girls. I feel like I have a few more years to be worried. If I had a 14-year-old son, I'd be...
Freaking out.
I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
So, I know you brought a wine. I would love to taste it, since we've got a few minutes left.
Yep. So,
can you mix it into my smoothie?
If you want to, I don't care.
No, I'm just kidding.
You won an award for that, huh?
Yeah. So it's a pretty neat project. So it looks very American, and that's kind of the point.
American
art.
To
kind of get everyone off of the general disclaimer of wine, I don't drink Italian wine, I don't drink whatever it may be that's not American from Napa. And so this is a Cabernet from Tuscany. So it's
anything from Tuscany that's wine is probably pretty good.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's exactly what it is. And so it's a really famous winemaker. It's a single vineyard. It's a single vineyard called San Giovanni. And on the label is Thelonious Monk. And so that's the other kind of neat plug into all of this.
Modern pop culture.
Yeah, so it's like he was kind of the guy that made jazz what it was and or what it is today, but he started doing the late 50s and whatever else. So anyways, the really neat thing, and I forgive for bringing this bottle. So this is the first round of prints. So the next round of prints. So Texas got the first round because of I live in Texas. Yeah, exactly. And so the second round of prints and the ones that got the – it's the same exact wine, same vintage, same everything. But the ones that got the number 26 from Wine Spectator this year for top 100 wines in the world, there was other little neat attributes to the packaging that's pretty neat. One of the ones is there's a sound bar, and so Thelonious Monk did a live recording in Milan in 1961. And so it's the first wine where if you put on Spotify and you take a little picture of the back, it uploads
the song.
Live album he did in 1961 in Milan. So it's up a whole new audience for, you know, someone that might not know who it is, even though it's a really pretty dope-ass picture. And so there's a lot of fun things with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's delicious.
We'll cut that part out of the show for sure. Jesus Christ. No one gives a fuck. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I love wine. No, actually, this is what I do. I love red wine.
Red wine?
When I drink, I definitely like. There's I'll have like, for sure. I have.
Wow.
Precocious. Yeah. Simply precocious.
Well, you're
no,
being...
I like to drink red wine when I have a small piece of steak and some broccolini, maybe a little, you know, lobster mashed potatoes, you know?
That's you talk about the food scene. I don't know how long you're. Well, no, you're going to Dallas tomorrow, but the food scene here in Houston is ridiculous. And next time you come through, you want an amazing steak, let me know. There's a few places here in town.
Cheers.
Yeah, I knew we'd get him to do it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we're not big on getting drunk at noon. That's something else.
Oh, that's good.
But
that's,
thank you.
Yeah, it's good.
We enjoy a sip and kind of breaks the ice a little bit. You had another movie coming out, too. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, it's an animation film. It's called The Big Trip, and it's I play a bear. So it's the lead character, and it's cute. I just got asked to do it by some people, by this guy Barry, actually. Barry Broker, who works over it's a subsidiary of Lionsgate. It's I forgot. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay.
I forgot the name of the company, but he asked me to do it and through a friend, and so I did it. And it should be out this next year.
One of your most well-received films, at least from my generation, was the Goofy movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just the everyone.
Leaning Tower of Cheese, bro.
It's interesting, depending on who you tell Polly's coming on your show, where they are in that age range is their most memorable memory of you. In fact, my sister-in-law, Katie, has not stopped messaging me on WhatsApp, even now while we're talking. She's freaking out. She's like, tell him to say hi to me. Tell him to
What's
say my
her name.
Katie.
Katie what?
Katie Hendry.
Katie Hendry, it's Polly Shore. I'm saying hi to you.
That would be $20 on Cameo.
Yeah, exactly.
The so it's
yes,
just,
I am on Cameo.
You are
but
on
not
Cameo.
For $20.
What are you on Cameo for?
$200.
Nice, nice. The
I get no requests.
Yet. We actually have a really decent sized footprint on the show, so maybe we can get you out, get some Cameo requests out here.
Yes, of course.
So, and speaking of which, you're in Dallas tomorrow. You're doing two shows in Dallas, and stick with the dancing.
Yeah, two shows Dallas, two shows Plano, two shows in Fort Worth.
One or two shows in Houston.
All the shows are sold out except for the second shows. There's still a couple tickets left. So,
why no two shows in Houston?
I don't know. We just did. I've never played this club before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was the first time. So
Houston's comedy scene's blown up. Chappelle has been here pretty much like a dozen times the past month. Louis C.K. was supposed to be here, but then we got into the World Series. We're getting hit left and right with some huge names, and now Pauly Shore's
here.
Great. So, yeah, and then you're going to Lafayette, Indiana.
Yes, I'll be all over Fairview, Lafayette, and on New Year's Eve, I'll be in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, yeah. Yeah, so December 27th and then the 31st.
Yeah, and then I fly to Hawaii.
Wow.
Which will be cool.
Are there any, another question, are there any films that you are often hear as people's favorites that you maybe don't have the best memories or feelings towards? Like, are there any that bother you? Stuff that you are loved that you don't want to be loved for? Or you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if someone says they like, you know, Jury Duty.
Mm. I don't know. I like Jury Duty.
I liked Jury Duty.
Yeah, I liked Jury Duty. I thought it was cute. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, everything that I've done, I've enjoyed it when I was doing, you know. Some I like better than others, but I don't know. I'm just fortunate that whatever I did, you know, has stuck, you know, several years later, so people still like it.
So you talk about the decline of like some of the early or the films in the 90s, stuff that maybe you shouldn't have done or something. Now they're looked back on as iconic. If you visit, I don't know if you read reviews of your Facebook page, but I just looked at your Facebook page just to see comments. It's nothing but love from thousands of people. Do you look back and think that reviews aren't nearly as important as the way that they're remembered, because you're remembered in a positive way, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, when you do anything in your career, you want to be able to read something about it and feel that it was positive. So when the movies came out and I got shit on by a lot of critics, at first I was like, who gives a fuck? But then the older I've gotten and the more the reviews came out and the more, you know, scathing they were, I was like, wow, this isn't cool. And then now that so much time has passed, even I think those critics are coming back to these films saying, you know what, those films are actually really fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it makes me feel good that to this day people are actually really enjoy them. I mean, those films have supported me my whole career. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I don't want to say I'm the Billy Joel of comedy, but that's a good quote. But I'm going to, you know, I'll retire on my hits. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck. I mean, if I have another hit, cool. If I don't, cool. It's like, I have my hits. People like the hits. It helps me sell. Sounds like I'm drunk. I'm not drunk. I am smoothie. I think he spiked my shit with acid, bro. What the fuck? You're like Ari Shaffir. We're gonna be like the new Bronx. We're gonna be a Bronx Dale's Bombers. No. What was I saying? Shit.
He had one sip of wine.
Josh, tell me, what did I say?
I don't know, bro.
You're Billy Joel of comedy. Yeah. Billy Joel of comedy.
Well, I have my hits, you know, and I could tour on them the rest of the year. You know what's kind of cool is I went to Saudi Arabia to do shows, and they knew me in Saudi Arabia. I guess it's not called Encino Man, it's called Beheaded Man or something. Out there, no. Oh wow, you can't do that. Is that too harsh?
No, do whatever you want. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So no, Saudi was cool. Saudi was pretty cool. People were really cool in Saudi. I was nervous though. You know, you can't drink in Saudi.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, you not well. Yeah. I mean, you can't. I mean, unless you go into a side thing and you do it. But is that worth it?
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
Is it worth getting arrested in Saudi for drinking a glass of wine? So that was really hard for me. And you can't swear on stage, so that was hard for me. And you can't really hit on chicks, so that's kind of hard for me. So it's like, it was cool. All my freedoms were taken from me. And I actually, at first...
But they remembered me.
No, but at first I was like bummed, but then the more time I spent there, I'm like, this is actually a good thing. You know, it's a good thing to get, because we're such pigs in America. Yeah. America's, we're pigs. We can eat whatever, we can drink whatever. We have such access to everything. And that's what I think is cool about people that go away to prison, that get out.
What?
Well, no, think about it. I think everyone should go to prison. No, listen.
A little bit.
No, I think even if you didn't do a crime, I think everyone should go to prison.
Jesus.
Prison for like a week, maybe a week every 2 years. Kind of like, you know, in Israel, you have to join the army.
Sure.
Right? And in America, you have to go to prison once every 2 years. Reason being, it makes you appreciate, you know, the freedoms, walking down the street, ordering whatever you can. And that was cool for Saudi for me, is it took away a lot of the stuff I normally just, like, you know.
Take for granted.
Take for granted. Yeah. So then, You know what I mean?
And then you come back
back to America, I was like, oh my God, this wine tastes so good. Oh my God, this is so good. Like, oh my God, that girl's not wearing a sheet over her head.
Yeah.
You know, because they do that. They wear the burkas over their head.
Look at all those ankles.
Yeah, they wear the sheet over her head. I tried to take pictures with the Saudi women, and they wouldn't take pictures of me.
Yeah.
With me.
Well, they'll get in trouble, right? Yeah. You won't get in trouble. They'll get in trouble.
No, they can choose to do it or choose not to do it. But I'm thinking, if I take a picture of you, no one's going to see you anyways.
Yeah, no one's going to know.
Except for your eyes. Oh, Susie, your pupils are so pretty.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't really see. So, but I got I don't know. It was a nice experience for me. I liked being over there.
Well, I know we're wrapping up. We've got maybe 5 minutes left. I found a bottle from your birth year. I thought it would be great if we had a sip. This has been sitting in the bottle since before you were born, in 1968. So, it's.
Am I allowed to take this with me, or is this yours?
If you'd like it, you can take it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So,
Josh, you like this stuff, right?
Yep.
It's gonna be pretty.
Yep. You like a bourbon fan? Yeah.
Yep.
So it's been sitting in the bottle for 52 years, right?
Jesus.
Fifty-one. So I'm gonna give you a pour first.
Okay.
And I'll keep it light because I know it's early.
This bourbon?
This is bourbon. Old Crow. And so there you go. I'll put it on a nice little hat. Cheers, man. Thanks so much for doing the show, Paulie. What's next for you? What other future projects you want to work on? Because I was listening to your podcast a few years back, and you had mentioned the one-man show years before it actually came to fruition.
Yeah.
Is there something, the next thing you want to work on, really? Because in terms of hard working, you have not stopped putting out content.
Yeah.
You've constantly, every year, been putting out multiple projects.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next dream project for you? More animation films?
I think I want to go to culinary school.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
You're a big foodie?
Yeah, because I've been a pretty good cook my whole life because my parents divorced when I was little, and I always cooked for my mom. I'm like 74. I'm like a natural cook. So I was thinking like it might be cool to go to culinary school to like really learn how to cook.
Yeah,
I already have it in me, so I think that would be cool.
You could save yourself a lot of time and money and effort just working with chefs, man.
Working with what?
Working chefs. With chefs.
Like, yeah, you can get little stages, man, because of who you are.
That's what Jon Favreau did. Jon Favreau became, started
cut through all
with,
of it.
Yeah.
And culinary school's incredibly expensive now.
Skip the school portion and do a video series. Like, John Witherspoon.
We're learning, man. I mean, shit, you get paid for it, too, yeah.
John Witherspoon did this show 2 weeks before he passed. It was the last interview he did before he passed. But he had a cooking show he did himself, put it up on YouTube, where he would just make one recipe. Mm. And if you had guests, celebrity chefs, that would do it 100% and actually cook with you.
They're kind of teaching me, right?
Yeah, teach you a dish. You know, you love steak and broccolini. Mm-hmm. Get a chef that's famous for it. Have them come on. Wow. Do a YouTube video of Paulie's kitchen. Paulie's, you know, and then cook a dish. Put it up. I bet that would be amazing.
Well, how do you get a hold of these guys?
Well,
I can help, but I cover a lot of the U.S.
What are you doing? Why are you raising your hand?
They work in this industry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're big in big in wine and
Chef Boyardee's. We could call it.
Oh my gosh,
Chef Boyardee's, bro.
Yeah, you could totally do that.
You know how like they also a lot of the celebrities, they have their own strain. You know, like Snoop Dogg's got his own strain of pot.
Sure.
Mike Tyson. Yeah. I was thinking about doing my own Pauly Shore's masturbation cannabis cream.
What?
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where you masturbate and then after your dick stays high. Because at least you can do for the little guy after you pulled him and choked him, dude. You know what I mean? There's a joke I do too. Okay, I'm going to get out of here.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure
meeting you.
Thank you. Watch Random Rants. Hopefully, if people are watching this.
Random Rants. You can find it on iTunes. You can also find the video portion on YouTube.
Yeah. And thank you for having me. Thank you for reaching out.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you at the Secret Show.
Secret Group.
Secret Group tonight.
Absolutely.
And then I'll be in Dallas all weekend long. And I'll be at a Twin Peaks near you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to go down there and get some we'll get some whiskey down there. Later, guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Prost.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. when you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.